Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Last week on the show, you heard Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff express his concerns around 310 Division Street. You also hear Deputy Mayor Nicole Beatty acknowledge community safety as a major issue for politicians, especially during the 2024 budget public input. Community safety is a critical issue. With the East End encampment, rising calls for service for the police, property crimes, and other indicators, it is front and center. On social media, there are discussions whether Coburg is no longer a feel-good town, as the slogan goes. In this segment, two key people, Ike Nwibe and Neil Ellis, talk about meeting with the public. In the interview, they will respond to concerns, issues, and specifics about 310 Division Street. These public meetings are incredibly significant. It is a chance to be heard. You can decide if they're listening. Neil, I'd like to start talking about Transition House moving from its current location on Chapel Street to 310 Division Street. And I understand that you held the first of several public meetings recently. How many people attended?
Yeah, we did. We're in a partnership with Northumberland County and doing some sessions of community engagement. So this past week, we held two in-person small group sessions. So they were capped at 25 people each. One was held Tuesday afternoon and one in Tuesday evening. And that was the number size was to just facilitate good discussion. We'll be running two more sessions like that online, again, capped at 25% participants that individuals need to register for, and they're scheduled for next week, Thursday and Friday. And then we'll move to a larger online question and answer period where anyone can log into that online session and participate. And that's on February the 6th. And then on February the 12th at the Legion, Coburg Legion, we will have an open house where people can come and speak directly with Transition House staff. I'll be there. Ike will be there. Board members will be there, as well as other community partners will be there. So that's the process that we're engaged in right now.
Who are these people? Were they neighbors, business people, others?
Some of them are neighbors of Transition House. Some of them are residents in the community who are have questions about what we're doing. Some of them have concerns about what we're doing. Others came and were supportive of what we're doing, but wanted to ask some more questions and get some clarification on how this would all roll out and what the impacts would be. So a mixed group were there. I would say definitely there were more people there who had questions of concern. Just how does this work? What does this look like? What does this mean? And the sessions that we held this week and the ones next week, they're primarily for us to listen and hear concerns. So they're less about us providing an answer. Right now, we want to hear what those concerns are and what those questions are. And then as we move through the engagement process with the Q&A and the open house, then that's more of an opportunity for us to respond to some of those questions that have been brought forward.
Were any of these people who you've interacted with before? I know there's been concerns in the past and there's been interaction between the community and Transition House. Did you recognize anybody in these sessions?
Yeah, we recognized a few people. Some of the individuals who have come to the sessions have corresponded with the board and sent the board directly their concerns. And there are individuals that are known in the community that have expressed some of their concern as well. And they brought forward very good points, very good conversation. It's good to be engaged in the conversation in this way and to have the dialogue. That's something that Transition House historically hasn't been good at, and it's something that moving forward, we want to be more engaged in community and in dialogue. And that's one of the things that we liked about Ike when we were searching for a new executive director, was that he had a proven track record of engaging with community, and that attracted, as a candidate, that was attractive to us as a board.
Ike, what kind of concerns were raised?
There were concerns around security, around people disturbing the peace in the like on the streets and things like that. Some of this, you know, like the priority, like Neil mentioned, we are like passionate about engaging with the members of the community. Like it's a priority for us to be able to come together and then look at addressing the challenges that affect us as a community and not just be focused about what concerns us as an organization. We understand that, you know, there will be certain challenges that we can address. There will be certain challenges that, yeah, it's like across board. It's not something that you can just expect one party to address. It's something that various stakeholders have to come together to address, which is a good thing about, you know, what is happening, this engagement that are currently ongoing. Well, it helps us to understand.
We all talk about this, though, in generalities. You know, we talk about concerns and challenges and, you know, groups dealing with things. I mean, were any business concerns raised? Did any local business people come out and say, and what are they concerned about? What are they worried about?
I believe that there were representations, you know, like there are people who were at the engagement who own one property or the other, or who run one business or the other, or something like that. And then the same concerns were, you know, around security, around things like, you know, I kept hearing things around the downtown core not being safe, not being as safe for some people anymore and things like that. But it's that's another thing, you know, like since the engagements are still ongoing and then the reports are going to come eventually, I have my concerns about that, but maybe I won't comment so much of it at this point.
Well, I definitely understand and appreciate why you might not want to do that, but community safety is a huge concern. Like people are saying, Coburg's no longer a feel-good town. There's a priority identified in a public survey in the 2024 budget that placed community safety very high. They want more money spent on bylaw enforcement. They, you know, the police are looking at hiring more officers. How is this not going to make things worse, as some people fear?
I think it's important that we look into addressing issues that affect us as a community, and then to be able and also draw the line, like be able to separate, for instance, what is homelessness, what is, you know, what is Transition House doing about it, what is the community, what is the county doing about it, what's the council doing about it, and then what is also the encampment, because for some, like when you listen to certain conversations, it's as if encampment equates Transition House and then homelessness and then and all that. Like when it's important for us to know that for every maybe one homeless person that you encounter, who probably you heard them making you know, a noise in the neighborhood or something like that, there are several others who are actually engaging, you know, and then are interested in making their own, like getting back on their feet. There are people who are using our services who are in school. There are people who are using our services who are employed. There are people who are using our services, you know, who engage in one skill training or the other and all that. And then there are certain things that, yes, Transition House is doing whatever we can to be able to address them. But some of these things it wouldn't be unfair on the organization to say, that's for you to deal with, because these are issues that affect us as a community. Because I try to think about, what if Transition House is not here? Will these challenges still be here? For me, the answer is a yes. And then with Transition House not being there, wouldn't that be a case of those issues not being, you know, like something not being done to be able to address those issues? So we are trying everything we possibly can And then we're exploring other avenues to be able to address these issues that, you know, affect us as a community. And then we expect, you know, something similar from other members of the community as well.
Neil, in an interview with Coburg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff last week, he expressed concerns about 310 Division Street. He is concerned about the density of people and the impact on the surrounding neighborhood. He said right now, the warming room, the encampment, the shelter are all split up. And he said bringing them together has him worried. Have you spoken with him, and how do you respond to those concerns?
Yeah. So Ike and I actually had a really good sit down with the chief and his deputy. I think that was last week. Really good conversation. And I think a really good foot forward in terms of continuing with the positive relationship that we have. The concerns certainly exist. You know, right now, Transition House operates out of three different locations, our 10 Chapel Street location, which is the main house, the warming hub, which is operating out of St. Peter's Anglican, which is just around the corner. And then we operate 15 shelter beds out of a local motel, which is up near the, you know, up closer to the highway. And so we're going to bring all of those, you know, three services down into the one location. We're going to maintain approximately the same amount of shelter beds we currently have. Actually, we're going to reduce it by, it's going to go down to 35 when we open at the site. And we're going to bring the warming hub into the ground floor. One of the advantages is we're going to have a 24/7 warming and cooling center, right? We're right now at St. Peter's. We're in there for 12 hours from eight in the evening till eight in the morning. So by doing that and incorporating some of the services and programming that we're working on developing for that warming hub, and so we're probably going to move away from that warming hub term because we're going to be open in the summer too. But that drop-in center of having some resources and community building and capacity building out of that. Right now, it's a space where people can come and they get out of the cold in the winter. The plan is to make it more of a hub for other opportunities for individuals and to give them somewhere to go. There's certainly, we've heard the concerns from the chief. We've heard the concerns from the community. And Transition House is ready. We're willing to engage with the community, with the municipality, with the county, as we're asked to do so. There's a lot of talk in the community about agreements and community liaison committees, a lot of reference to what's happening in Durham with the Durham Whitby agreement there, and we're paying attention to all of that. We're up to date on all of that information, and we're sort of at a stage where we're waiting. You know, councils work in certain ways. They have to pass motions. And so we're waiting to be engaged, but we're an active partner with Community Social Services at Northumberland County. We have regular conversations with our counterparts there about the work that's going on. And we're ready and we're willing to engage with the community to make sure that we appropriately address the concerns. Because what we want to ensure is that the community itself feels safe and indeed is safe. And so we want to make sure that we're doing the best we can with the Coburg Police and bylaw and with our neighbors in the area. But also within that, we want to ensure that our clients' needs and their concerns aren't also lost in that, that that's an issue that we need to always remember that these are individuals who live in our community. There's a lot of talk of, well, this is going to attract people from outside of our region. And our numbers don't bear that out as being true. These are people who are from Coburg or from Northumberland County that we're serving and caring for. And so they live here too. And we need to ensure that that their dignity as persons is well cared for. And we want to provide the opportunities for them for wellness and wholeness so that they can move forward in positive ways with their lives, whatever that might end up looking like.
Neil, the property is purchased.
The property is purchased.
Is there anything that people can do to stop this?
I don't know that there is, we're moving forward, that this is going to happen. But we're, as I said earlier, we are an active participant in the engagement process. We want to have these conversations. We want to know what the concerns are, and we want to make sure that we can then make the proper steps to address them. A lot of the concerns that are coming forward are things that we've already been having preliminary discussions about. And so it's good to have that affirmation of, okay, we're not off base here. When we were thinking about this, this might be a concern. And then there's some other things that have come up, and we said, well, is that our lane? Is that our role? Or how can we be a part of that specific concern that maybe is being addressed, right? So we just want to make sure that what we do, that we do it well, and that it happens well. I mean, we're moving around the corner. We're going to manage the same amount of beds, offer the same core services that we're currently offering, but we're going to do it in a way that can that moves people out of dormitory style living in bunk beds, increase their level of privacy that they have. We hope that that will lower the level of anxiety that they're experiencing, and create opportunities for them to engage in services and build capacity for them.
But with all due respect, you say it's going to be the same number of people. It's not. You're moving into a building that could have 45 beds. So I don't see the correlation there. It's not the same.
Can I say something?
Yeah, oh. Please.
Okay, so the with the current setting of the current facility where Transition House operates out of, we have potentials to engage with different partners, paramedics, Ontario Works, ODSP, the mental health services, and so on and so forth. But the challenge is that we don't have like we're constrained when it comes to space, where they can have like that space to engage with their clients and have confidential, conversations,
sure,
or to do examinations and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's something that the new facility, when we move to the new facility, that will be addressed. So we are currently engaging with these partners to ask them, what do you need? What are those challenges you experienced when you were supporting us? And then, so based on all this feedback we got, we're like, that will be incorporated into how we operate in the new facility. So clients have a space where they can have their confidential, they can have their privacy when it comes to maybe meeting with a medical doctor or meeting with a paramedic or something like that. So those are all spaces that will be provided for in the new facility. So it's not all going to be like, space for shelter beds.
But you will have the capacity to serve more people just by the mere fact that you're going to have a drop-in center, that you're going to have these offices, that you have this space where, you could have theoretically up to 45 beds. Obviously, you're going to have some services. It's not exactly a one-for-one. It's not going to have nothing's going to change. I mean, there's a lot that's going to change, and it will draw more people. And I guess that's what I was trying to get clarified was, is that, it's not a one for one. If I'm hearing this correctly, and please, if I'm wrong, correct me, but that's what it sounds like.
No,
I think that, you look at the building and it's 47 independent units, and you're like, 47 units. And if you put two beds in each one, suddenly you're pretty much at 100. And I think that there's that fear that's going around in the community. And our commitment is that we're going to be opening and operating with those 35 shelter beds, plus the warming room drop-in center, which could be upwards of 20 people. And that's the same amount of people that we're serving right now. Right. And so, yeah, that might be 55 people that are in and out of that building on any given day. And that seems like a big number, but that building is big enough and designed to hold and work with that amount of people. We have three floors where we have those accommodations in those rooms. Part of one of those floors, we're going to be modifying into some of the rooms into office space for our partners. And so we'll end up giving up some of those 47 units for other purposes. initially going in the fourth floor. We won't be using it all initially. We've been thinking about, and it's very early concept phases. I mean, we need to get in the building as we exist first. But what could happen if we were able to model a transitional housing type program and use that on the fourth floor? And that's aspirational thinking. That's, you know, 12 to 18 months down the road to develop the program and the funding and whatever that would look like. That's down the road. And I think that we also have to be aware that, you know, as COBRA continues to grow, as houses continue to go up in our community and the population growth that's estimated for our community and the county as a whole, you know, the plan is to grow, that we're going to see, especially if we are unable to keep up with affordable housing and affordable rents, we're going to see more and more individuals who fall through the cracks of the housing market and start experiencing homelessness. Now, whether that becomes a transition house expanding or that means other services need to be developed within our community or within the county as a whole, I don't have an answer for. Other than that, as a wider homelessness system, and that's the part that we have the conversation with Northumberland County and our other partners, the community is going to have to find ways to respond to that and what that looks like as we grow in the future. And so this opportunity says, we could provide a better shelter experience for people experiencing homelessness, and we have the potential to maybe open up the beginning of the housing continuum with a transitional housing model. And that serves our community and that helps our community. And that's a positive, and I think that that's a win. It comes with concerns. It comes with questions that need to be addressed internally as an organization and externally as a larger community. And we're committed to having those conversations in appropriate ways.
Ike, there are always cynics out there that say, or they may say, this is just an exercise in political theater, that in addressing concerns and all you're really trying to do is just placate people by holding a bunch of public meetings. How can you assure people that their concerns are going to be met, that they are going to be heard, and that changes will be made to ensure that public safety and community safety is honored?
Looking at the design of how the public engagement is being done. So we start with receiving feedback, and then that's concerns from members of the community who participate. And then we move on to the question and answers session, where, you know, those questions that are being asked, there are members of our organization, members of the county office, and other stakeholders who are there to be able to address some of those concerns and everything. But one thing is clear though. The purpose of this is not, I mean, this is not one of those engagements where you just put it out there so that it's on record that indeed we engage people and all that. No, it's actually an opportunity for us to really understand from the different members of the community, different community groups. We also have a segment that is targeted at our own clients, and then, you know, individuals who are in the homeless community as well, to be able to understand their own views on all that. So at the end of the day, all this would come, there will be a report on all these concerns and everything. So it's intended that this would eventually go into the plan for 3-10 division. You know, we'll be able to see from not just from transition houses perspective, but from the perspective of other groups, other members of the community, and all that. So with all that, we would be able to look into, okay, are we actually on track? Are there changes we need to make? Are there things that are under our control that we can address? Are there things that other stakeholders, you know, in the community have to actually take ownership for, and things like that, which is actually the reason why we're engaging the various stakeholders as well, the police, the paramedics, and, you know, various other departments.
Akinwebe, Neil Ellis, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks for having us, Rob.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That was Transition House Executive Director Akinwebe and Chair of the Board Neil Ellis. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this.